Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city.
Hello, everyone, and God bless you. Hi, this is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you today to Prophetic News, the radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We want to thank Blog Talk Radio today for this great opportunity to minister the precious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have a special guest for you today. We have Eve Rault. Hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I'll be bringing him on in a few minutes, and he will correct me if necessary. But he's written a book called Fake Faith Healers, and it's a very interesting book. This book is available on Amazon, so I hope that you will avail yourself of it. It's good reading. I guess so many of us, having been associated with ministries and churches throughout our Christian walk, we've all had stories and circumstances that have happened to us. And so it's interesting, and I'm sure that you'll be ministered to today. I want to mention we have a website, propheticnews.com. If you would like to visit, there's some great articles there. Some great ministry links. Also, we are now on YouTube. We have a channel, and the channel right now is Jonah T for Tom 48. So check that out. So you're going to be blessed today. The chat room is open. We'll be checking in to the chat room to look at your comments. If you have a question, hopefully, if someone is in the chat room, would you please type me a message so I could see that my chat room is working, because we've been having some trouble the last few weeks. But I have updated my software, so hopefully I can see your comments. And I'm going to bring my guest on now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hi, Yves.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Now, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, you do. It has been, while we sit in the state, a matter of a lot of discussion about our last name, but Brault is the right way to say it. You got it right.
All right. Well, I'm so happy to have you today.
Well, thank you
for
having me.
Yes. I know that I became familiar with your book a few years ago, searching the internet. And I myself, I've been a Christian now for about 30 years, and worked for different ministries and was in the Word of Faith movement. And I became disillusioned by so many of the things that I saw that went on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for other people in situations and came across your book on the internet and was able to obtain a copy and read it. And so I know that you have a testimony yourself of the situation when you were in Orlando years ago Benny Hinn's church. So give us a little background of how you came to write the book, Fake Faith Healers.
Okay, well, the name of the book, the title of the book really is Behind the Scenes, The True Face of the Fake Faith Healers. And in 1992, the Lord called us to move to Orlando to attend Benny's church. Now, in those days, we believed that Benny was a real man of God. So by God's grace, we're able to move to Orlando. My wife, my son, daughter, and myself, we moved to Orlando, where we attended Benin's church for 2 years. But it didn't take us too long to realize that what was going on the stage and what was going on behind the scenes were not comparable. It was two different things. And we came to realize that miracles were not really happening, and the preaching and the teaching of Benny was way out of the Bible. So we spent, as I said, 2 years in this church, and for the last 15 to 18 months, we really started to look into Benny's teaching and the false miracles and everything. And in 1994, after Benny had made us some promises, he made promises to us in July 1992. As a matter of fact, he called us on stage because he was organizing a crusade in Toronto, Canada, and he asked if there was any Canadians in the church. So we stood up, he called us on stage. And then afterwards, in his office backstage, he promised to us that he would hire us and get us our working paper. And all we had to do was to call his secretary. Well, we did try to call his secretary for months and months and months and months. Never got to meet Benian. He was never man enough to come to us and say, "Brother, I made a mistake. I cannot meet you. I cannot do nothing with you." So he left us hanging there, suspended for almost 2 years. At the end, all economies were down the drain. We had to let go of our apartment. We slept in rescue missions. And finally, I called the Canadian embassy in Miami, and they forced Benian's ministry to bring us back to Canada. It took quite a bit of discussion for the embassy to finally get Benny to agree to bring us back to Canada. So they sent us back to Canada. And at this time, Benny had a brother named Christopher who had a travel agency in Orlando. It would have been easier for them to send us by plane, but they sent us by bus, by Greyhound bus.
Oh, yeah.
And since, you know, we are from Quebec, but we didn't feel comfortable to come back to Quebec, and our son had been to Vancouver, we decided we wanted to go to Vancouver. So they sent us by bus to Vancouver. It was a 4-day, 3-nights trip. It was kind of a lot of people that travel by bus do not take a shower every night. So
yeah.
It was interesting in many ways. But when we got to Vancouver, I went to the library, which is a huge library. They have documentation, all sorts of. And I started to look into faith healers and discovered a man by the name of Fran Anton Mesmer, who was a physician in his days and who was able to heal psychosomatic diseases by the strength of his, I'm not going to call it his anointing, but his mental power. And what Mesmer did was that, and you'll see Benian does the same things. What they do to bring the people into a control, it's called mesmerism. And it's the capacity to raise the emotional state of a person up to an abnormal but controllable level. And they obtain that, especially in Benian's crusade or other people's crusade. They will sing songs for like minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes, repetitive songs. And then the emotional state of the crowd will come very, 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 very high. And when it attains that objective, then the preacher, Benin in that case, would call healings. And he would say to people, "Well, there's a back problem that has been healed. There's a cancer that has been healed." And people are so emotionally high and involved that they do believe they're healed. And then they run on stage to testify of their healing. And, of course, Benny has the camera rolling to show that on his program. But as soon as the mesmerism is gone, as soon as the emotional state is back to its normality, the healing is gone because they are not healed at all. It's only in their mind. So this is how we came up to write the book, The Face of the Fake Faith Healers, because Benny, like many others, like Maurice Cervelo does the same, they use mesmerism, which is an occult practice.
Yeah.
It's ground manipulation. So that led us to write the book, and after that we started ministering in churches in Florida especially, and we have a website on which we expose Benian and many other people, and that's what the Lord has called us to do, to reveal to the Christian family that they are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. There are many of them. Millions and millions of people have been caught and ensnared by those guys. And it's only by God's grace that he allowed us to write a book and, you know, expose these people.
How were you received in the Christian community with your message?
Very well in the fundamentalist part of the Christian community. Not so well in other parts.
Yeah.
Like all the churches we ministered to in Florida were all Baptist or fundamentalist churches.
Oh.
Non charismatic church or Pentecostal church or whatever would invite us. As a matter of fact, we came to the Lord in 88 in a Pentecostal church. In Montreal, and we went through all, you know, the process, attended the bigger church in Montreal, and then went, moved to Vinion. So we knew, and we know a lot about the Pentecostal heresy teachings. So,
yeah.
But, you know, they would not invite us because shooting themselves in the foot.
No, well, the thing is, and I found it interesting because just I think this week, the former editor of Charisma Magazine, Lee Grady, came out with an article about the end of these gangster preachers, you know.
Too bad he didn't give any names.
Yeah. But, I mean, the fact that he, at least they're admitting it, because for so long, say, for instance, a magazine like Charisma, even if I would send in a letter to the editor, they would never publish anything that was against the ministries that they were promoting.
Of course not. Stephen Strang, which is the owner of Charisma, attended Benyon's church, visited Benyon's church many times while we were there. So they were like very close together.
Yeah, well, the thing is, of course, you don't want to, you know, put your magazine out of business.
Of course
even
not.
Even if it means telling the truth, but it's always more important for people to tell the truth and to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if it means you lose everything, so what?
The problem is not too many people do.
People would
prefer to keep their position in a ministry or in a church instead of, you know, standing up for the truth.
That's the truth. But I see a shift, and I think that there's so many people. I get emails from people. All the time telling me how sad they are about how their churches have been turned over to the false teachings and how they try to go to the pastor and tell them of their concerns, and then they're shunned. They cannot receive correction. I think it's interesting that a man named Philip Powell, I think he's from Australia, but
he is.
You know of his ministry?
We've been exchanging emails for last year.
Yeah, he was I think like the superintendent, or he was very high up in the Assemblies of God, and he himself became disturbed about everything that was going on, and I think that they got rid of him.
Did they?
And they wouldn't listen to him, but
the Australian church.
Yeah.
Because in the States, Benyon wanted to be ordained by the Assemblies of God. That was about the mid-90s, I would say, and they ordained him. And then there was so many letters and emails and complaints they received that they had to defrag Benny. They took his ordination away from him. So the Assembly of God in the States stood their ground. And in Italy also, while Benny was preaching, all the members from the Assemblies of God, they all stood up during the preaching and walked out of the crusade because Benny's teaching was not appropriate.
What do you think about this association with the Vatican? I know that you're a former Catholic. I'm a former Catholic myself. So what do you think about his association with the Vatican?
Well, Benny was raised in Roman Catholic faith, as you know.
Yeah.
That's in his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And in our book, we relate the fact that he visited twice. We relate two facts. Once, he visited a convent in Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, which is a Catholic convent, where Benny claimed that he made miracles upon miracles, and the Mother Superior of the convent denied that totally. And then another occasion, I believe it's in Germany, Benny and Jean Paulino and members of his staff visited a Catholic place, and Paulino said that in that place he never felt such an anointing. So Benny is very, very close to the Catholic people. As a matter of fact, the way he dresses now is a little Nehru-style jacket.
Looks like a little priest uniform.
He looks like a little priest, and he has I don't know if he still has it, but he had a photo of him with John Paul II in his office.
He made a, after he died, he made a videotape of his life.
Is that right?
And
he, just like Catherine Kuhlman.
He was promoting it on TV.
Is that right? And just like Catherine Kuhlman, in his crusades, Benny had a Catholic priest or two Catholic priests on the stage with him.
Now, he kind of imitates Catherine Kuhlman.
He does. I think what happened really is that when Benny got saved, I mean, he really like was really, really in it. He was really believing in the Lord and everything. And then when he went to Kuhlman's meetings, I think there was a spirit transfer there from Kuhlman to Benny. And that mesmeric spirit was transferred from Kuhlman to Benny. And then from there on, Benny like lost it completely. He was using mesmerism instead of using God's power. And it is a shame because Martin Luther died. And remember those 98 theses? Hailed on the door. He was promoting and he died to prove his points against the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
It's too bad that men like Benyon, you know, would try to get closer to the Roman Catholic Church. But that's all biblical because at the end there'll be one world religion. So I guess
we can see that how you know when the Bible said that many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits
and
doctrines of devils. So we see that happening right before our eyes. It's hard to believe that we're seeing it because we didn't. I never thought I would see these things happening in my lifetime.
Neither did we. I mean, it's getting closer and closer to the Lord's return, and you see more and more Christians are lacking faith, and they're letting their Christianity down. I mean, of course, there's one main reason: they are not properly taught in churches. I mean, how many times did you hear a good sermon in a church? I mean, a life-challenging sermon. I mean, there's not that many.
No, there's not that many because today we see so much of universalism. We see so much of this promoting your success in life the self-esteem doctrines and, of course, you know, the prosperity doctrine, the whole thing with the seed sowing. And I know Benny Hinn had come. I was associated with Norville Hayes Ministries for a few years.
I just said two books for Norville Hayes and he never prayed me.
Really?
Yeah, he was at Benny's church in Orlando one night, and I'm a translator by trade, so I went to see them, and they gave me two books to translate. I did translated it, both of the books, and sent the books back to them, and they said, well, that was missionary work. We thank you very much. Goodbye. The guy's a millionaire.
Norville's got a lot of money. Oh, my dear. That's terrible.
I know.
Oh, that's terrible. You know, I mean, the thing is, being there, I was there in Cleveland, Tennessee for a while, and was this singles minister there, and I did some teaching at the Bible College. I didn't stay long, about 9 months, but, I mean, I was never on staff there as far as paid staff. I just, was volunteering, but I did find Norville to be a sweet guy. A lot of the things he says are good, but then he doesn't do it, you know.
I want to correct something, Susan. It is not two books I did for Norville. It is one book. It's a book called Standing in the Gap.
I see.
Sure that's the one we did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, Norville talks sometimes against, you know, these things, and then he associates with people like Mike Murdoch and Benny Hinn and these people. So it kind of doesn't go, you know, the things he says don't line up with then the things that he's doing. So it was a little distressing. But, I mean, thank God I got out of all that mess. I had to take myself out of it because I couldn't stay in going to the Word of Faith churches because I used to go and preach in these churches and hold, you know, meetings and that kind of thing. But I couldn't stand it anymore myself to see the way the people were being taken advantage of.
That's right. And as I was saying earlier, it is because they are not properly taught. The sermons are not accurate. I mean, what pastor would want to make a life-changing sermon and take the risk of losing some people which are tithe payers, right?
Yeah, that's it. They don't want
that's the name. That's the name of the game. You know,
I know. That's what I found out. But, you know, I couldn't. I said, well, you know, what's more important? It would be better to go get a job, you know, another job to do, you know, at a grocery store or something, than to have to stand up and deceive people and use Jesus as the way to do it or the Bible as the way to do it. I mean, it's just not worth it.
And tithing is not biblical. I mean,
no, it's not biblical.
It is not biblical. No. I mean, we in many, many churches we visited. I remember one church where the pastor had a box in, at the entrance of the church with a little slot in it, and people would come in and put money, whatever the Spirit of God would lead them to. There was no call for tithing. There was nothing of that sort, and the church was doing well.
Of course, because the Bible says that, you know, we're supposed to live by faith.
That's true.
And so, you know, you see this today with so many of the so-called faith teachers. Well,
yes.
They're not living by faith. They're telling you have to sow seeds, you have to pay tithes. And so I found out that the only people that were really prospering for the most part were these prosperity teachers.
And they're in
they
crowd.
Were the ones.
And
you know, they were the ones that were really prospering because they were collecting. Hey, I'd be prospering too if I was collecting 10% from 1,000 people.
I remember one incident in Benny's church when we attended. It was Benny's birthday, and they took an offering for his birthday. And I remember senior citizen ladies taking their last dollar out of their wallet to give to the offering plate because it was Benny's birthday. You collected $30,000 that night.
Yes. And you got a Greyhound bus ticket back to Canada.
That's the truth.
I mean, you know, that's the irony, but that I had that same situation in a church where I was in. I was in full-time ministry at the time, traveling, doing missionary work overseas, and the church wasn't really supporting me. But yet, when Mike Murdoch came, in one morning, they gave him $10,000.
Yeah.
And then when it was the pastor's birthday, they gave him a boat. When it was his wife's birthday, they gave her a baby grand piano for her living room. So I'm like,
you know,
all this stuff doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that's true. In the Bible, in Deuteronomy 14, it talks about tithing, and the Lord says to the people, I mean, you know, whatever products you have from your own soil, go and sell it and rejoice together. I mean, he doesn't say, you know, go and give it to the whoever it is, you know, rejoice yourself. And it was also
spend it out.
It was products from the land. I mean, it was not.
Yeah,
money.
Right. It was food. Tithing
was
food.
That's right. That's true. And it was given. It was kept
for the storehouse to feed people.
That is true. That is correct.
You know, the thing is, you don't read it. You know, you don't read it.
Well,
most people don't read it.
That's another problem. I've often said that, you know. And I may sound a bit accusing on that, but a lot of Christians will take their Bible Sunday morning, take the dust off, bring it to church, and put it back there Sunday night, and then next Sunday morning, dust it again. So they do not read their Bible, and they rely only on the fact that what the man up front is telling them or preaching them, and they don't study the Bible. So no wonder they get all, you know, they're all mixed up. And
well, that's
confused.
The truth. That's
and,
the truth. What I found out is I took about 3 months after I came out of it was 1997, after I took myself out of the Word of Faith movement, and I just said, I'm just taking myself out of any kind of public ministry.
Who's heading that movement, Word of Faith? Who's the, is there a head office?
Well, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland,
oh,
Fred Price, Norval. Yeah, Kenneth Hagin, I would say, they called him the father of the faith movement.
Yeah, well, I've seen him in a video lying on the floor and
oh yeah,
looking like a serpent, and I mean,
yes,
it was disgusting. It was.
Yes, it was. But the thing is, it's like I said, I'm going to set myself down and I'm going to study all. I studied every scripture on, you know, seed, on giving, on tithing,
yeah,
on free will offerings. I studied. Just spent, you know, just over 3 months looking up everything, and I found out the truth. I found out that, well, no, tithing never was about money.
It's because the Holy Spirit taught you.
Yes. And then when you try to tell people that, they get very angry because, like, you know, they're so brainwashed, and if they would take the time to find out what God is really saying. I found out that giving, or, you know, God blessing you financially is just the same way as when you got saved. It's by grace. It's by asking.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to pay God off or do anything to make him like you, to give you, to meet your needs.
The hundredfold teaching is one of the worst teaching I've ever heard. You know,
yeah,
if you give a dollar, God will give you back $100.
Yeah.
But if that was true, then guys like Binion should send $100 to each of their partners, and they would get back $100 of the $100. Right?
Well, now he's asking, he's saying he needs
$2 million.
$2 million.
You know, on our website, the question that is mostly asked by people that write to us, do you know of a good church? Do you know
of
a church we can go to?
Yeah.
Because people are not Christians, are not, some Christians feel they are not well fed in their church, and they're looking for strong nurture and not little white milk like they are given every Sunday.
Well, it's true, but, you know, the thing is, if you can't find a good church, then you're better off staying home.
That's true. This is what we do. My wife and I, we don't go to church. We stay home, read our Bible, and pray, and the Holy Spirit is teaching us. We've learned more since we do that than when we attended the church.
It's true.
Of course.
I said I'm not going to expose myself to going and listening to a bunch of foolishness, because I just settled in my own heart that I was going to be free teach the Bible and the way it really is, and not worry about offerings or invitations or any of that. You know,
that's
it's
right.
More important to be able to stand before God one day and have him say, well done, than, to preach for offerings.
That's true. It's a lot better, and it's a lot more biblical to do what God is asking
That's
us
right.
to do than what men are telling us to do.
Than what men are telling us to do. Because
there's a world of a difference.
You know, I feel like that. I feel like, there's been people of the faith in times past that have laid down their life to the point where they would give their life for the truth of the gospel.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, God is raising people up in these days to do the same thing, to stand up for the truth at all costs, because Jesus paid such an awesome price for us. We can't forget us that have been born again. We cannot forget what Jesus did for us and how wonderful it is.
That's true. And we praise God that you invited us, because one of the problems of the people that are non-charismatic or non-Pentecostal is that they are not helping one another. I mean, and we thank God for you, because you have invited us. We're on the same team. We're fighting the same fight.
That's right.
But if you look at the other side, the charismatic circle, if one is in trouble, they will all get together and help him out or help her out, which does not happen in the fundamental world. You know,
no, we see that, but I'm hoping for a change, because I believe that Jesus is coming for a glorious church. There are so many people that they want to see change, and I do see another caller on the line, and I just want to let you know we just have
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city on a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.